You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Hey, I am excited. I'm so excited. I've got a word hot on my heart from the Lord to share with you today. So if you need to, give yourself a little bit of a wriggle, a bit of a wake up. I don't know, maybe you're a bit sleepy this morning. Just give yourself a bit of a wriggle because we're going to go in deep. What? Okay, that silenced the room. Fantastic. We're going to go in deep into the word. That's what I like to hear. Hey, we are in our series, Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Jesus Through the Scriptures. Last week, we had the incredible Pastor Corey with us from California, which was insanely good. And then the week before, we had our amazing Pastor Josh bring a word as well in this series. Now, we are back in this series and ready to lock in because we are talking about the word. We're talking about the Bible. The life-changing good news of Jesus that's alive on every single page. And I thought to help us out, we've had a little bit of a break, we've had a little bit of a breather, that I would give us a little overview, get us like all ready and on the same page. So, 66 books in one book. Correct. 66 books in one book. 40 writers, 3 continents and languages, roughly over 15,000 years, God-breathed book. Okay, little overview. There's law. There's history. There's the life of Jesus, formation of the church, and a lot more in this book. And I absolutely love it. I love the Bible. There is a reason we are doing a whole entire series on the Bible. It's not just because it's a nice thing to do. No, it's because it's an important thing to do. Because this is life-changing. And if we don't teach ourselves, we don't learn about it, we don't learn more, get better understanding, then we're missing a trick because this is the life-giving word of God. And when I look at the Bible and I've been studying, getting ready for today, I love how rich it is, how full of just everything it is. It's not just kind of wishy-washy 66 books, woo, throw them all together, bound them in a nice book, and here we go, here's the Bible, woo. No, it is deep and rich and alive. For in him all things were created. He was thought of from the beginning. The great thing about this book is that we can see the God story from start to finish and continuing. And it is amazing. Now, before I jump in, I just want to say a quick hello and shout out to our family that are on the overflow on the Mez. Did you know, church? There's a little camera on the back wall. Because we've got so big, we now have people doing church on the Mez. And we want to say, hi, we love you. You're awesome. You are part of this service too. So I want to hear you amening and yesing through the door. We love you, church. Brilliant. Okay, today we are looking at the books of the prophets. Ooh, come on. Yep, see, you're waking up. I like it. Now, a few years ago now, I got an email into my inbox, which was a little bit unexpected. It was a little bit, kind of, to be honest, I thought it was spam. And I'm one of those people that as soon as there's like an email in my inbox, as soon as like the red little like number 1, 2, or 3, whatever, comes into my inbox, I'm like, bat, 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 in a subfolder, read, responded, deleted, sorted. There are no unread emails in my inbox. I can't cope with that, unlike my husband, who's got about 2,000 unread emails. 1,200 apparently. Okay, great. I can't cope with that. That is not my life and I can't deal with it. Anybody else with me? Thank you. Brilliant. But I got an email into my inbox. So naturally I opened it straight away. Naturally I went to deal with it straight away. And I read it and I thought, have they got that right? I am invited to the High Sheriff of Chester's cathedral service and reception. Yeah. I was as shocked as you were. Me, with the weird hair, in like the Converse jeans and a t-shirt, got invited to the High Sheriff. The High Sheriff who wears like chains and feathers in their hat and like all fancy pants. And there's me like, ha, what? I got an invitation. Now, obviously I RSVP'd yes. because, you know, who isn't going to go to that? That sounds interesting. And I went along, I scrubbed up, yeah, brought myself like an attempt at a suit. I think I wore like black trousers and a jacket. Was my effort. And I went along and I went to this cathedral service. It was all very prim and proper and grand. I put on my best Hertfordshire accent and tried to blend in. We sang hymns. It was very prim, very proper. And then I went to the reception afterwards in the town hall. Darling, it was lovely. And, you know, there was little sandwiches and all that. It was very, very fancy. And I was surrounded by lots of different people in suits and dresses. And, you know, they're all mingling and very kind of tip-top bosses, and there's me like, hi, it's really nice to be here, it's really cool, don't know what to talk to you about. But the amazing thing that I had this revelation, I'm stood there in the middle of the town hall in this reception, and I suddenly realized that I get to represent Audacious Church. I am in that building, been invited, because at some point, we've been recognized for our work in the community, and I get to represent Audacious Church Chester. That was epic, being our representative. Now, today, when we dive into the books of the prophets, the thing we know about them is that they are who God chose to speak through. So before Jesus was on earth, they were God's representatives on earth, because somebody needed to come as the voice of God to kind of lay down what was to come, to give us foreshadowings, to give us kind of glimpses into who Jesus was. So they were the representatives of God on earth. They were the authorized spokesman who passed on divine revelation. Divine revelation. Now, to help us out, because I don't know if you're a little bit like me, when I first got given, hey, Sarah, this is the topic you're preaching on. And I went, oh, okay. Woo! I broke things down a little bit to help myself out. So there is, right, 5 major prophets. And I think there's, go on, Jessidy. You got there before I could even say it. 5 major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, come on, and Daniel. And then there's minor prophets, which I won't go through, but they're all there. You can read them. And the difference, right, between the major and the minor prophets is really simple. Firstly, major ones are a bit longer. Minor ones are a bit shorter. Well, that's quite easy to understand. I can do that bit. And then the major ones go into more detail. They kind of explore a few more themes and understandings. And then the minor ones are mainly all about a specific topic, like one specific thing that they focus in on. And I love that we can read and we can dip in and out of these books of the prophets. But how we understand them makes a real difference, because they were God's representatives, all these different people. And they were needed to come. We needed them to come to earth to be that representation before Jesus. They laid the foundations for Jesus, giving glimpses and foreshadowing. And I'm going to go into this a little bit later on, because I promise you, church, it is mind-blowing. Even if we look in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 1 in the New Testament, this is what it says. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. So here we have the prophets in the Old Testament teaching us, giving us, kind of laying the foundations, because we needed Jesus to come in the New Testament. But the beautiful thing is, when we look at the word, it's not that just like you have the Old Testament, great, that's the bit without Jesus, and then you have the New Testament, cool, that's the Jesus bit, wonderful, I'll open the Bible up at the Jesus bit. No. Jesus is in this from the very beginning to the very end. We can see, this is what the books of the prophets show us. They give us all these little glimpses and foreshadowings and ideas of all of who Jesus is going to be when he comes to earth. The prophets were a shadow of what was to come. Jesus isn't just a New Testament thing. Mm-mm. He's not an afterthought. It's not like Jesus is a God reaction to the state of the earth in that moment. But he's thought through from the very beginning. There are 17 prophets, each giving a little of the story. But what we know now is Jesus was the full and final story. The prophets represented God, but Jesus is God. The prophets gave a little bit of revelation, but Jesus is the perfect revelation of the Father. Prophets carried the word, but Jesus, he is the word. Jesus wasn't just another prophet. Mm-mm. He was the final and full revelation of God. And today I want to give you three purposes of the prophets and how they show us how Jesus fulfilled each one of them. So buckle in, get ready, we're going deep. Number one, the prophets reveal to us. They show us, they reveal to us God. They reveal his people and how his people can see God correctly. It's a little bit like God didn't want to become one of those, like part of that whisper game where you pass the whispers along the line from generation to generation, where their understanding of who God was kind of shifting and changing and getting diluted each time. That is not what God's design and plan was. Even A.W. Tozer says this, and I love it, says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'm going to say that again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is what is the most important thing about us. So what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And so what these prophets are doing is helping us get ready and foreshadowing how we're going to understand who Jesus is. How we see God determines how we approach him, how we respond to him, how we become more like him in our lives. All about how we understand him. And the prophets didn't give us like just a little snapshot of like a soft God, a hard God. Didn't just give us like a distant or disinterested God. Actually, what they give us is a holy God. A holy God, a just and merciful, sovereign, powerful, faithful God. They show us all these different things. In Jeremiah 10:10, it says, but the Lord is the only true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. The whole earth trembles at his anger. The nations cannot stand up to his wrath. Or in Isaiah 6:3, it says, they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy God, the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The prophets reveal to us God's character in the word. The prophets revealed to us God's character in the word. But Jesus reveals God's character in the flesh. In the flesh. God's prophets in the word. Oh, but Jesus, God's character in the flesh. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh, making his dwelling among us. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. The prophet setting us up, giving us all we need to know so that when Jesus comes, he makes it so clear who God is. He shows us God's true character, who he is in the flesh, in the flesh. It's a little bit like if you've ever met someone and you're like, oh, it's so nice to finally meet you. I've heard a lot about you. It's great to see you. And maybe your perspective on who they are shifts a little bit because you're like, oh, you're not like the person I thought you were going to be. It's a little bit like Katrina Stewart, who's singing beautifully on backing vocals today. She will honestly tell you that when she first met me, she thought I didn't like her. Yeah, she thought I didn't like her, and she was afraid of me. Which, you know, I like to think, over time, as we've got to know each other, she now knows that's not true. And actually, it took time. It took time for us to get to know each other, for her to understand a bit more about who I am, a bit more about my character, and how actually I'd like to think I'm quite a nice person and not someone to be afraid of. And it took time for her to understand my character. Jesus came to help us see God correctly, to see who he truly is. So, hey, let me tell you, if you want to know what Jesus is like and who truly Jesus is about, and you want to know more about God, I should say, if you want to walk how God walks, learn how you should walk like God, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks about marriage, money, sex, relationships, success, the life around you, world, culture, the future, what you're going to do with your life, hey, look at Jesus. God gives us this God in flesh for a reason, to show us exactly who he is, how much he loves us, how much he's for us, how much he's saved us, how much he's forgiven us. He shows us all of this through Jesus. Let me tell you that Jesus is on every page of this book, start to finish. Not just the New Testament. The books of the prophets show us this. The second thing they do is they remind us. So we've had, they reveal to us who God is. And then we have remind us. The purpose of the prophets was to remind God's people of the covenant. Now, a covenant is kind of like a very important promise between you and God, or God's people and himself. And it's like a binding agreement. And we see it quite a lot throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And we can see in the Old Testament that the people of God kind of start to get it wrong with the covenants. Now, if you keep to the covenant, there's like blessings and God pours out his love and all that good stuff. But sometimes the people in the Old Testament didn't really stick to the covenant, and there were repercussions of that, let's say, because they kept forgetting about it. They basically had a bad habit of forgetting about God. And Pastor Josh spoke brilliantly about this the other week, talking about how there were cycles throughout some of the books in the Old Testament of how they would basically be running for God, and then they'd slip, make a bad habit, and then the prophets would have to then say, hey, you're making a mistake, let me pull you back to God, and then we'd go back around again, but then they'd start making, and it'd be this cyclical thing where they keep making mistakes. And through the time of the prophets, we can see that generation after generation drift away from God. And the prophets, they basically were having to point it out every time that, hey, you've sinned, let me warn you about what's going to happen. They had to remind them that they were God's people and call them back to God. It says in Jeremiah 11, 1-5, but I'll just do a little bit of it. It says this: the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, remind the people of Judah and Jerusalem about the terms of my covenant with them. Say to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is anyone who does not obey the terms of my covenant. For I said to your ancestors when I brought them out of the iron smelting furnace of Egypt, if you obey me and do whatever I command you, then you will be my people and I will be your God. I said this so I could keep my promise to your ancestors to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you live in today. The hard hearts of God's people couldn't keep the covenant as they kept making mistakes. Now, what this shows me, what this points out to me, blindingly obvious throughout each of these moments throughout the Old Testament, with the prophets having to come back in every time and go round and round and point it out. Oh my goodness, we need a savior. We need a savior. We need Jesus, because they just couldn't keep to the covenant. We needed Jesus to come to make a new covenant. A new promise between us and God, that he's a loving God, that he's a God that wants you to be set free from all those mistakes, to be taken out of that cycle, to be taken out of that chain that keeps you down. And let me tell you today, church, if you're sat there and you're thinking, I am stuck in that cycle, I am bound by that chain, that cycle, that pattern, let me tell you that today he's going to set you free. Today, by the name of Jesus, he's going to take whatever it is that's binding you and remove that from you. Because the new covenant says that you're free in the name of Jesus. The new covenant says that you don't have to be bound by that anymore. And this is the house of the Lord, which means he wants to do business with you today and say, step into what I've got for you. No longer be bound by that, because I am a God who sets you free. I am a God who loves you. The old covenant told us what God required of us. The new covenant provides what God requires. Old is what I had to do. New is what's already been done. What's already been done. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit from this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. 2 Corinthians 5, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. And let me tell you, if you're a Jesus believer in this place today, you no longer are the person you once was. You are the person that Jesus has set you free into. You no longer have to walk in what was once in your life, maybe habits and things like that. No, no, no. It says you are a new creation in Christ. I don't know whether you need to hear that today. Maybe you need to speak that over yourself afresh today. Maybe you need to receive that afresh today to know that you are a new creation. There is nothing in your past that can bind you anymore. Nothing. Don't conform. Don't compromise. Don't drift from God. You've been set free by a God who loves you. Oh, he's got a plan and a purpose for you that is good. That is good. A plan that is greater than we can ever know or see, or sometimes, let's be real, understand. But I tell you, look at his track record. God's track record is so good. It's so good. When we're reminded of the cross, when we're reminded of the need for Jesus, as we see it from the prophets, our response should be to give him everything, to daily surrender to him. Because, oh my goodness, the need for the new covenant with Jesus is so real. It's so real. And the third thing is that the prophets do is they show us how to ready us. So we've got revealed to us, they reveal to us the person of God and the character of Jesus in the flesh, remind us the need for our Savior, and then they ready us. Now, the purpose of the prophets was to ready God's people for restoration. So they're showing us all this stuff in the Old Testament, in all those books, that the need and, they're readying us for restoration. No matter how far they drifted, God's heart was to always see that restoration happen. Always. That was always the plan. Because we ultimately know we needed the Messiah. Now, there are roughly, right, in the Old Testament, 300 references to the Messiah in the Old Testament. There are 300 references to the Messiah in the Old Testament. Just sit with that a second, right? 300 references to Jesus in the Old Testament. So when I'm talking about how this Bible, the New Testament, isn't just the bit where Jesus comes. No, there are 300 references all throughout the Old Testament of who Jesus is and was to come. And 100 of them alone are found in the books of the prophets. And get that cool slide up. That'd be awesome. Here we go. Right, this is what blows my mind a bit. This is a lovely drawing, a little rainbow, if you will, to help us understand this, right? So you've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. So these, on this side of the Old Testament, are all the prophecies, the things, the foreshadowings, the things that have been said about Jesus, the things that have laid out who his character is going to be, the things that show us what he's going to be like in the future. And then we see, as it flips over to the other side of the rainbow, how they're fulfilled. Hold on a minute. Let's just do that again, because I don't know if your mind was blown, but mine is kind of... Bleh. This side... All of the prophecies, the kind of bits telling us more about who Jesus is going to be this side. And then on this side, how they're fulfilled, how it comes to be, how it's like, oh, we told you it was going to happen, and thousands of years later it did. That is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. It says in Luke 24, then Jesus took them through the scriptures, the writings of Moses and all the prophets. So Jesus literally took them through those writings and then explained them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's in the New Testament. So Jesus is sitting, going through the writings of Moses, showing them. That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. Take maybe just 10 of those prophecies, right? Just 10, just maybe think ahead, cool, I'll take 10 of those prophecies. Imagine just 10 of them coming true. Just 10. And yet there were over 300. Imagine taking... imagine for you, if you were to predict in 700 years, okay? So you are predicting in 700 years a person where they're going to be born, where their family tree is, what they'd do, what was said about them, what they would do, and then how they would die. So you've predicted that for 700 years in the future. That's what we're talking about. Over hundreds of years, the prophets said the Messiah would be this. And here's just a few of them. I'm going to give them to you, a little snapshot. They said, right, the prophets, born in Bethlehem, from David's line, a light in Galilee, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. How specific? Pierced. Silenced before his accusers, executed with criminals, buried with the rich. They weren't just guessing. It's not just fluke or chance. This is them literally giving us this glimpse of who Jesus was to be. And then we know it comes to fulfillment. This is incredible, showing us who God truly is. They weren't guessing. God was speaking. This wasn't coincidence. This was fulfillment. This was fulfillment. These were written centuries before Jesus was even born. You can't choose your birthplace. You can't choose your ancestry. I got there. Ancestry. You can't choose the price someone pays to betray you. How Rome's going to execute you. Where your body's going to lay after you're dead. You can't choose those things. And I tell you something, church, all of this makes me go from, wow, what are the coincidences? To, oh my goodness, what an awesome God. What an incredible God. That this is his word, that this book contains all that. That it isn't just a book of 66 books kind of randomly put together and bound by some nice leather. This is the living word of God that predicts Jesus, who he's going to be, that shows us that this is full of truth. Because how can you go 300 prophecies just kind of showing us and then coming true? This isn't fake. This isn't made up. This is the living word of God. This is God breathed that will change your life when you get into it. That it does show us God on every page, Jesus on every page. It is life-changing, let me tell you, because my heart goes from, wow, that's pretty cool, to, wow, I honor and worship you, God, and I dedicate to reading this word, to living my life according to what this says, because it is life-changing. It is powerful. God keeps every promise. God keeps every promise. It shows us that he is a faithful God time and time and time and time again. He continues to show us his love. He continues to show us his mercy. His plan was always to send Jesus. You know what? You were already thought of right at the very beginning. It's not like he kind of got halfway through and said, oh, cool, I'm going to throw a Sarah Hockley in there. But no, you were thought of at the very beginning. God had a plan and has a plan and purpose for you at the very beginning. You're not an afterthought. You're not a reaction. You're planned in. The God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, he's planned you in from the beginning. It shows me that I'm so loved that he would always send Jesus. That he would always send Jesus. And if it was just for me, he would have done that. But he did it for everyone. He did it for all of us. You are not an afterthought. Let me tell you, you are a chosen child of God. That's the God that I see when I read the books of the prophets. A God who is faithful. That when he says something, he will always, always come through on it. And I promise you, I've seen that. I've seen it in my life. Yes, I've gone through those times where you're going, God, are you ever going to come through? Are you ever going to fulfill? You know, I've had that moment in my life where I've gone, God, am I ever going to have a baby? And I walked a horrible road. I walked a hard road. But I've got my promise. I've got my boy. Because God is faithful. So no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it is, no matter how rough it might feel, and you might feel in the trench, in the depth, clinging on for dear life, let me tell you today, church, he's a faithful God. He is a faithful God. There is nothing he can't do. And it's your choice how you respond to that today. It's your choice. Maybe you know you need to make a line in the sand today to say, do you know what? I've neglected reading the word. I've neglected learning more about God's character in the Old Testament. and actually how incredible that new covenant is with Jesus in the new. I've neglected putting that into my life, walking my days with that. Maybe today you need to say, yeah, I need to change my routine. I need to get my priorities in line. Or maybe today you, as I've been speaking, know that you're stuck in a cycle of coming back to God, making a mistake, coming back to God, making a mistake. Do you know what? He wants to break that from you today, church. He really does. He's a God of freedom. He's a God of love. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing too big, nothing too small that can separate you from the love of God. And hey, maybe you've been listening to me today and you're like, cool, that sounds pretty awesome. Never really understood God like that before. I've never really understood that Jesus had a plan for me. And today you want to say, I think I want to live my life for him. There's going to be chance for that. Because it is the best decision I ever made to say, do you know what, God? I want to live your way, not mine. I'm done with making mistakes. It hurts too much. I want to live for you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.